Everybody say it with me. Say, God never said that. I am amazed at what people think God said. Whether I'm watching TV, whether I'm listening to people talk, no matter where I'm at, I hear people talk and they say, God said. God said, God said. Well, this series is entitled, God Never Said That. And I'm saying that on purpose because there's a lot of times that we say God said things and God didn't say it. And I will tell you this, if you've been praying for me this week, I'm glad because I have changed my message 3 times. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to hear the other 2 messages. Just not tonight. I debated about which one to go into first and which one to tackle. And honestly, whenever something isn't panning out for me, then I know, okay, I need to move on to something else. Maybe this one will work out where I want it. And I feel like this is the one that really is going to bless you tonight. This is the one I feel that the Lord really is going to move through, and we'll see where we end up. Let me just ask you a question. It's amazing how things work. I'm going to give you a story, and then I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. But I don't want you to say it out loud so that you're not wrong. All right. A guy leaves the house. He takes a left. He takes another left. He takes another left, and he gets all the way back home, and he finds 2 men with a mask. What do you think? Okay. What if I give it to you this way? A guy leaves home, takes a left, takes another left, takes another left, comes back in. There's 2 guys with masks looking at him. Now, let me tell you where I lost you. I lost you with a guy left home, right? And right there, from that point on, you weren't with me. You know, even though home means, you know, home plate, y'all know what I'm saying, right? A guy leaves home plate, takes 3 lefts, and he's back home with 2 guys that wear masks. We know that's a catcher and an evil or an umpire. Evil umpire, empire, however you say. Hey, listen, we know that that is what it is. But how many of you know sometimes we can hear something and then it sounds like we're saying something else when really it means something completely different. Y'all hearing what I'm saying tonight? All right? And a lot of times people can do that with the word of God. And let me give you an example. How many of you believe don't raise your hand? How many of you believe don't raise your hand? I'm going to say that one more time. How many of you believe don't raise your hand that Adam and Eve ate an apple? No, they did not eat an apple. It says fruit, all right? How many of you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, I said. It doesn't say whale. It says fish. We say whale because the biggest thing we know is whale. Y'all getting what I'm saying? How many of you believe there were 3 wise men who came to see Jesus? I'm kicking over sacred cows tonight. Making you mad already. I know that's in the Bible, Pastor Charlie. I know they taught me that in Sunday school. How about this? There weren't 3 wise men. There were 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there, it doesn't say. It says there were wise men who came from the east. It doesn't say how many. It doesn't say how many. And here's the principle and here's the point. If you start out with the wrong understanding of the Word of God, you'll end up at the wrong destination with the Word of God. Amen? And we know this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Listen, if we're going to be free, and if we're going to understand everything that God has for us, we can't take something as face value. We have to dive into it and see exactly what God said. Well, with that being kind of the setup for my message tonight, I want to talk to you about something that people say all the time. And each week, you're going to get hit with another idea of what people say, and then I'm going to give you what God says, all right? So here's the first one. Everybody ready for it? Say amen. All right, here we go. Number one, here it is. You ready? Money is the root of all evil. Did y'all get that? How many of you believe that? Don't raise your hand. I said, don't raise your hand. All right? Listen, money is the root of all evil. I know what you're thinking. No, Pastor Charlie, it doesn't say that. It says this. It says this right here. The love of money. How many of you believe it says that? Oh, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I know what you're thinking, but that's what I've heard all my life. Listen, let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible and see what the Bible says. Are you ready for this? Here's what it says. 1 Timothy 6:10 is where we get this verse, all right? For the love of money is a root. I knew it was in there. For the love of money is a. Do y'all hear the difference? Do you hear? It's slight. It does not say the love of money is the root of all evil. I know what people say. I know what people say. They say money is the root of all evil. No, that's not. Neither one of those two are correct. The Bible does say this, though. It does say this. For the love of money is a root of all types of evil. Oh, Pastor Charlie, you done jacked up my world. How many of you see the difference? How many of you see the difference between a root and the root? It's a root of all evil. It's not the root of all evil. It is a root. The love of money is a root of all evil. Look at it. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many what? Sorrows. Now let's take it all in context and see what it's really, really talking about. Because when we get it all in context, it's going to make a whole lot of sense. Here's what it says. Now godliness with what? Contentment. Everybody say contentment. Yeah, godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. Watch this. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we will carry nothing what? Out. You can better believe that. How many of y'all believe that? The Pharaohs tried it way back. No way. Although I should have got this. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I seen this dude. He was, and y'all know how I love fishing and guns, right? Yeah. Anyway, there was this guy who actually had, instead of riding in a hearse to the graveside, he had his casket placed on his bass boat. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you go out with class right there. All right? Or at least you go out with an Evinrude. I don't know. For we brought nothing into this world, certainly. How many of you know, though, he ain't taking that to heaven? Anybody remember, how many of you used to, I don't know how many of you dream, but I'm a dreamer. I dream at night. And I remember being a kid thinking, whatever I dreamed about, if I could hold on to that thing whenever I was dreaming, when I wake up, I'd bring it into the natural world. Nobody did that. I'm feeling really weird now. Feeling really weird. Look at this, verse 8. And having food and clothing, we shall be what? Content. But those who desire, here's the key, those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Watch this. For the love of money, y'all hear it? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Y'all getting that? For which some have strayed from the faith with greediness and pierced themselves through with what? With many sorrows. Here's the deal. Check this out. I did a little research on where that phrase came from as far as the love of money. All right, is the root of all evil. It actually comes 100 BC is when it's first brought out. And it was by the philosopher Bion, B-O-I-O-N, 100 BC, stated that the love of money is the center or the metropolis of all evil. All right? Now check this out. Whenever your Bible translate for the love of money, check this out. It is literally in the original one word. We translate it three, but in the original it's one. And it actually translates literally this way. The fondness of silver is a root of all kinds of evil. That's the literal, but you know, it's a translated. So here's the Charlie Riley Amplified. You ready? Here it is. The consuming love of money is a bad root in your life. A consuming love of money is a terrible thing for you to have in your life. It is a root that will come up and it will choke everything else out. I know of people who've destroyed their marriage over the love of money. They've destroyed their family relationships. fighting over. My dad and his brother did not speak. My dad went to the grave mad at his brother. You know why? Over $1,000. My uncle owed him $1,000. My dad felt like he paid him back. My uncle said he didn't. My dad said he was going to kill all his chickens and his pigs. Seriously. My dad said, I ain't never having nothing else to do with him. How many of you know that's silly? Over $1,000. Come on, get over it. I'm not saying, how about this? Don't loan people money that you know ain't going to pay back. There's even wild wisdom in that. But here's my point. My point is, people destroy their lives over the love of money. It is a root of all kinds of evil. There are other roots. I would say that the lust of the flesh would be a root of evil. Yeah. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Sexual immorality could be one. How about a lying tongue? It could be another root. But this root, it's just like if you're going to weed your garden, you can't just pop the head off of that thing. You got to dig deep down into it and find out. And find out what is exactly in it. I'll give you an example of things that I've had to root out of my life. When we were a kid, we didn't have a lot of money. So there are certain things I didn't grow up with, like nice shoes. So when I became an adult, there was no way I was wearing shoes that were even dirty. I got stupid with it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, I still like nice shoes. But I had to grow to the point where my shoes don't determine who I am. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I'm using that. How many people use money as an indication of who they are? And listen, the love of money is a root. It has all kinds of forks and branches. Some people work themselves into a grave prematurely. Why? Because they love money. That's a root. Why? Because they never had anything. Right? We've all heard about people that have went through the depression. People that go through I remember Michelle's grandpa, when they passed away, they went through the depression, and we had to go over there and clean out their house. I mean, they kept broken light switches, broken receptacles, just broken stuff. And I remember asking, why would you keep all this stuff? And it was because they went through the depression, and because they didn't have anything, now they hoard everything. Everything. They're not getting rid of nothing, even if it's broke. Even if they got the money to buy 50,000 receptacles. They hoard that and keep that. And you know what that is? That is a root of not having money. And because of it, they hoard things. Now, I'm not getting into hoarders tonight, but I am talking about the root of money as an evil, all right? So if you've heard that growing up in your Christian walk, and maybe you've heard that being preached or even said on TV, listen, we're here to break that off tonight. We're here to break that off and say, no, that's not what the Bible says, in the sense of it's not saying money is evil, and it's not saying that to have money is evil. It's saying that for you to have your heart wrapped around money to where money is everything to you and nothing else matters, how many of you know that's evil? Or, like I said, with the Charlie Riley Amplified version, out soon in bookstores, the consuming love of money is a bad root in your life. The consuming love of money is a bad root in your life. Is a bad root. I know of people who have not gotten married because, you know, Pastor Charlie, we'd get married, but, you know, they might lose disability. They might lose a paycheck. They might lose something by getting married. As if, no, I'm being serious. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Everybody picking up what I'm putting down? Two people living together. Maybe one of them's on disability or something. All right? And they're afraid if they get married, then their disability would be canceled out. Okay, and here's the premise. I need money. And if I do it the way God wants me to do it, God isn't going to bless me. They love their money more than they love the God that they serve. Hello? Yeah. How many of you know if they would do it God's way, God would bless their finances over abundantly and above? Come on, am I right? And they would see more of the blessing of God. And I'm not against people being on disability. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who use the system and think that God doesn't see it. And it's really all rooted in the idea that they love money more than they love God. Right? Yeah, we'll get into it. Check this out. If you're going to stay free from that mentality, that money is evil, I'm going to give you three things. And it's really as simple as ABC. Why? Because that's as high. I went to North End schools. So just work with me, all right? All right, ABC. D, we got D messed up with B, so we stopped. Just saying. All right, number one, here's the deal. You ready? Acknowledge that money is not evil. Acknowledge that money is not evil. Acknowledge that money is not evil. Here's the truth. You will never attract what you curse. If you say money is evil, you'll never attract money. You can't have the mentality, I'm against money and attract it at the same time. Right? Money is not evil. It's the love of money is a root of evil in people's lives when they're greedy. Right? Not whenever they're willing to honor God with it. Matter of fact, I would say it this way, that money is simply a tool. How many of y'all believe that? It's a tool. It's a tool. That's all it is. It'll make more of what you already are. You give a drunk money, and guess what he'll become? Broke drunk. Right? You give a drug addict money, and guess what he becomes? A stupid drug addict with no money. Come on, right? You give somebody who loves and wants to honor God with their possessions and what they have, guess what they're going to do? They're going to make it a kingdom impact, right? You empower people who have money to do good things, and they'll do great things, right? Money is a tool. I look at it like a shovel. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Like a shovel. I mean, with a shovel, you can dig a ditch, right? Put in a trench in Indiana because it rains every day in the month of May. All right? You can, but you know you could whack somebody upside the head with a shovel and kill them? It's a tool. A misused tool if you kill somebody with a shovel, and I would suggest not doing that. But my point is that you can use that tool any way you want to. Any way you want to, right? And think about it this way. How silly would it be if we said this? You know, shovel is the root of all evil. A shovel is the root of all evil. She married him just for the shovels. I mean, come on, really? Really? You know, time is shovel. See, and it sounds silly, doesn't it? But you know that money is the same way. It's a tool. It's simply a tool. If you take it and translate it the same way as a tool, then you could get the purpose and the meaning of what God intended for us to look at our money like. As a tool. A tool. It's not evil. It's not evil. Matter of fact, the Bible has a ton to say about money. And again, We look at this. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in what? Oh, no, Pastor Charlie, that just means spiritually. Well, bless your little humble heart. How about this? We're going to prosper in all things. All things. What's that mean? Here's what the Greek means. All things. Y'all didn't get that? The Greek? I thought it was funny. pray it may prosper in all things and be in what? In health. It just as your what? Soul prospers. Yeah. So does God want you to be okay with finances? Does God want you to have prosperity? Yeah, absolutely. Check this out. Psalms 35:27, one of my favorite verses on the planet. Let them shout for joy and be what? Glad. Now check this part out. Check this part out. Who favor my righteous cause, that's important. Who have a heart for the things of God. Blessed are those who favor my righteous cause. Watch this. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Who has pleasure in the what? Prosperity of his what? Servants. And prosperity can come in many ways. I'm not just talking money, so I get that. But what I am saying for right now, what we're talking about is money. Money is not evil. If God said he delights and he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, it doesn't say he takes pleasure in the poverty of his servants. Y'all hear that? He doesn't take delight in poor people. I'm not saying if you're broke, God can still delight in you. I'm not talking about that. Here's what I believe. I believe there are righteous poor people and righteous rich people. I believe there are righteous, y'all hear that? I believe there are unrighteous rich people and unrighteous poor people. All right? Of all the categories I don't want to be in is unrighteous and poor. All right? That's the categories I don't want to be. Where do I really want to be? I want to be wealthy and righteous. Why? Because that way everything I have can be used for the kingdom of God. Y'all get what I'm saying? So the church can't run around going, well, you know, money's evil, and yet expect to be blessed and expect to do God's business. Right? If we're going to do God's business, we got to expect to be blessed. And we can't be blessed if we're continually saying money is evil. Money is not evil. It is a root of all kinds of evil. Yes. But it is not got to be, let me say it this way. It does not have to be in your life. Right? You can use it like a shovel. A tool. Right? All right. Okay, check this out. Look at this other one. Luke 4:18. I think this one's intriguing to me. Check this out. 4:18. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the who? Poor." Stop right there. Stop right there. If God was for poor, why would he send Jesus to preach to poor people? Did Jesus show up and say, hey, guess what? Y'all are poor, and guess what? You're going to be poor forever. There's the good news, the gospel. I mean, no, Jesus didn't say that. First people he addressed was the poor. The poor. Now understand, Jesus did say, the poor you will have with you always. And I've heard people twist that verse. Say, oh, Pastor Charlie, see, God makes some poor and God makes some rich. No, that's not what Jesus was saying. I'm going to give you what he was saying. He was saying, you're always going to have a certain sect of the people on this planet that do not obey the laws and principles of God with their money, and because of that, they end up broke. Yeah. All right? Charlie Riley Amplified. If you didn't pick it out, here it is. You ready? You're always going to have knuckleheads that don't know how to spend their money. Right? How many of you know, but that isn't God's will for them. That's their will for them. Right? If you spend your whole weekend at Anderson instead of with your family, right? Because you figured it out this time. How? Because you counted toes and fingernails and birthdays. And you've got it figured this time. I'm going to win. I'm going to hit it big. You're going to hit it broke. Right? I assure you this. They are not paying for that building down there with their money. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. And that's for the lotto too. Right? You notice they keep getting bigger and bigger. Before too long, you're going to walk into a convenience store. The whole counter going to be lotto. Pastor Charlie's preaching against lotto. Let me tell you what lotto is. Lottery is a tax on poor people. That's not a political statement. That's a reality. Let me explain something to you. Rich people that have money, they may buy a ticket. Poor people go in there and spend their check. Why? Because most poor, not all, please don't translate it some other way. A lot of poor people, we'll say it that way, actually love money. Poor people love money. And because they love money, they're always trying to make more of it on any way possible. And they're going to find the quickest and easiest way to get there instead of doing it the way God said. Here's what God says. If you want more of anything, be faithful in the little that you got. You're faithful with the little, and guess what you get? You get more. Whatever you can't manage will get taken away from you by the world system, not God. What you can't manage moves away from you. What you can manage will move towards you. Y'all hear that? You get that? Yeah. So if you're here in your way of thinking that God's going to bless you is you playing the Powerball and you doing this, listen, until I see audible numbers on a paper, you know what I'm saying? Till God's angels show up and surround me and I have a touch by an angel moment and the halo shows up and there's a Bible verse to go with it, until then I ain't doing that. I'm not doing it. And again, I'm not saying that you can't, I'm not trying to preach you into legalism. But what I am trying to say is understanding that poverty is not Jesus's plan. And poverty is not God's plan. But it definitely is the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan is to keep people poor. Why? Because when they have no money, they have no influence. When they have no influence, they can't make kingdom impact. Y'all getting what I'm saying? And how many of you know, how many of you want your grandkids blessed? How many of you want your kids to be blessed? You can't do that with no money, right? Say, oh, yes, I can. Really, you take my kids home then for a while. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it. You just can't do it. You have to have money to do it. And God's not against it. He just wants you to manage it well. Amen? All right, check this out. So look at that, looking at this. So to proclaim, look at this. To preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus came to preach good news to poor people. You don't have to be poor. Poverty is a curse, not a blessing, right? So we have to accept, everybody say accept. Accept and acknowledge that poverty is not God. It's not God, right? We'll go back to the thing that I was saying at the beginning. Acknowledge that money is not evil. Everybody say money's not evil. How many of you believe healing is evil? You mean, now we wouldn't sing a song like, I believe you're my prosperity and provision, and Lord, just give me more, more, more. We wouldn't sing that. That'd be kind of corny and weird and seem really earthly. But listen, if I can say, Lord, bring healing into my body, then I can say, Lord, bless my finances. Bless the money that I have. Make it go further and do more. Yeah, it's okay to pray that. It's okay to say, God, I thank you for money. I thank you for what it can do in this plant, on this planet. And I ask for more of it so we can do more of it. Right? Listen, when things come around for the holiday season, you know, they're not saying don't give your money. They're saying give your money so we can help people. Right? All right? Amen. Listen to this. Number two, you ready? Check this out. Number two, you have to be aware of the possession obsession. It's a disease. Be aware of obsession, possession obsession. Be aware. Be aware of obsession. People obsess. And let me tell you what it's like. It's like I was sitting today studying while Michael was playing paintball. I went down to McDonald's. How many of you know that blessed place? If you've got kids that are 16 and 18, you know that blessed place. You spent about 10 years there, right? And that is still my son's favorite place to eat at 16. I hope he gets over it bad, quick, hurry, all right? But listen, here's the truth. McDonald's, you know what they sell the kids? What do they sell the kids? What's it called? Come on, talk to me. It's a Happy Meal, right? Whoever marketed that was a genius. Ain't nothing happy in that thing. I mean, you get a little bitty microwaved hamburger thing, right? Come on, it's rubber. Yes. Yes, it is. I've ate one. It's rubber. And the fries, the little fries, oh, they got healthy. You can get apples in a tear-off thing. I wonder how long those been there. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You know? I mean, you can get all that. And they called it the Happy Meal. No wonder Ronald is smiling. 20 billion served. I'd be smiling too if somebody bought into that. And you remember how it was when you were a kid? You'd take them in there, you know, and they're like excited, right? They're excited. Yeah, we're at McDonald's. We get to play on the stuff that everybody plays on. It's all nasty. And you know what? After that, we get to have a Happy Meal. Yes. And you know the deal, they don't eat half of it. Why? Because it ain't no good. It's just, and Ronald, you can take your picture with Ronald. Yeah, just ripped y'all off. That's how I look at that. Hey, but on a serious note, check this out. You know what people are doing? You're buying an emotional experience. Are you not? You're buying an emotional experience. In my opinion, you know what happens as people get old? They change out McDonald's for something else. It's no longer a Happy Meal, it's a Happy Car. until a month later in payment. Then it's a bad payment, but happy car or a happy house. And what they're really doing is they're trying to find contentment in things were never made to make you happy. Amen? Amen. Beware of possession obsession. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Why? It make me happy. I'll give you three myths that deal with this possession obsession sickness, all right? Tell me if you suffer from them. If you don't, let me assure you, I do sometimes. Through Bass Pro Shop and a lot of things, I gotta have that. Ain't nobody caught a fish on that ever. I don't know, but it looks cool. I dig that thing, man. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not pointing, if from this point on to the rest of the message, I ain't pointing, I'm with you. We all together in this thing? All right, just checking. Look at this, though. Let me give you some things to be aware of. Myth one, thing that you need to be aware of when it comes to the myth that money is evil. Here's this. Number one, possession obsession. Myth number one, more stuff equals more happiness. If I just have more. Listen, check this out. I have 6 acres. I look back on the happiest time I ever had mowing. And it was when we had a little push mower about, I'm talking like a 22-inch deck push mower. Pushed that baby in about 30 minutes. In the military, it was even better. In the military, I had a half a yard. Half a yard. They came by every year. I was their favorite. Every year on base, when you live on base, they come by and inspect your yard. They'd always get to my yard and they'd say, hey, Airman Riley. I'd say, yeah. They'd write me up. You want to know why? I refuse to water my yard. They'd come by and say, hey, listen, you need to water your yard. The yard's turning brown. I said, I'm not watering my yard. They said, why not? I said, it will grow. It will grow. And if it grows, then I got to borrow somebody's lawnmower, and I'm not doing that. So I'm not watering my yard. They kept getting on me. Guess what? I bought a lawnmower. Come on, y'all. But I was happy. I thought, man, the more, and then we got an acre. Now we have 6 acres. Mowing is weak. It never stops. It's like, well, I'm bored. I'll go get on the mower. Mow the grass. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And because we think more makes me happy. We think more will make me happy. If I just had more money, I'd be happier. No, you'd be more responsible. You'd be responsible for more. The more debt you get, the more you worry about paying off the debt. Right? The more of anything you have, the more responsibility that comes with it. But we always think it's the opposite. If I just had more. I mean, I don't know. You know, I remember when we had one car as a family. One car. Now we have my Suburban, which is rusting out. Has 230,000 miles on it. But it still runs and it's paid for, so I am a blessed man. Michelle's car, which has 209,000, I looked at them this week, 209,000 miles on that Chrysler 300. But it's paid for and I'm a blessed man. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now we got Hot Rod Whitney in a car. And that thing, when it got it, like 130,000, now it has like 145 in 3 months or something. Oh, I need more. I need more because I'll be happy. Hey, listen, now we got the project from Sheol, Michael's Mustang. Sheol is a term for hell in the Greek, all right? All right, just clarify what that means, those of you that are not Greek scholars. But I mean, we got this project car that I actually had to load it up on a flatbed this week and move it to the front house because we got to get ready for a graduation. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I have a boat that the battery charger went out on. If I have more, I'll be happy. No. If you have more headaches. You have less money. If you want to be happy, keep it simple. Right? Now, I'm not saying go Amish. I can't believe he said that. You're going to offend them. They don't listen to the radio. Some of you get that later. They don't watch the internet. Oh, isn't that funny? Myth, 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 myth. Oh, yeah. You going to be all right? That ain't no joke, right? They don't. They will talk on a phone if it's the neighbors or it's outside in the barn. But I got to stop. Or I'm going to get going. You guys will get, don't feed the machine, all right? I'll just keep rolling. All right, look at this. Look at what the Bible says about this. Look at this. Check this out. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, it is time for you and yourselves to dwell in paneled houses, and yet the temple lies in ruins. And let me get the context for you, all right? The house of God, the house of worship, it was the temple back then under the old covenant. It was in ruins. It wasn't completed. But the people were living in these fancy, nice houses. And God had a problem with it. And what they found out is this, and you'll watch as the context builds. You'll find out that because they didn't take care of the house of God, what they had, they couldn't enjoy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And again, we're on this myth that the more I have, the happier I'll be. That's not true. It's not true. Here's the truth. The more you honor God with what you have, the happier you'll be. All right, check this out. Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat and you do not have enough. You drink, but you have not filled. You're not filled with drink. You know what he's saying? You're not happy. You get all this stuff and you ain't even happy with it. You have all that and you're not happy. Why? Because happiness doesn't come from things. It comes from him. Him. Look at this. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm, and he who earns wages earns to put it in bags with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring down wood, and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house is in ruins, while everyone is in ruin. While every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above withhold their dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. I could go on, but here's the principle that I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to show you that more doesn't necessarily mean happier. It's not the way it works. The more you honor God with what you have, the happier you'll be, no matter how much you have. It's what the Bible teaches. The more you honor God with what you have, the happier you'll be. The more fulfilled you'll be. You'll be happier. Happier. I like Suburbans, all right? And I would love to have a new Suburban. Could I go get one? Yes, I could go buy one, finance one, and make payments for 1,400,000 years. But I can look at my green Suburban with 209,000 miles on it, and I can sit on my porch and go, that's a blessing. It's paid for. Now, when the wheels fall off, then I'll be like, oh, maybe I should get something new. But until then, I'm telling you, it's blessed. More doesn't necessarily mean happy. The more I trust God with those things, the happier I am. Amen? All right, y'all get the principle here. Here you go. What was that? Myth number what? What am I on? 5? 12? No, I'm on 2. Here we go. There's only 3, I promise. Number 2, here you go, ready? Possession, obsession, myth number 2. I deserve it, I get it now. Come on now, first of all, you may deserve things in life. But can I tell you, we live in a culture, in a society that is all about I deserve this, I deserve that. It is a mentality that is actually foreign to the American way and foreign to our predecessors, our grandmas and grandpas. You would have never heard my grandparents or my wife's grandparents saying, I deserve anything. Hello? Right. They wouldn't have said that. They would have said something like, if you want it, you go out and work for it. You go earn it. That's how you get it. You don't sit there and tell somebody they owe it to you. You go out and work for that thing if you want it. No one owes you anything, right? Think about it this way. In a good way to really kind of show you this is by the use of credit cards. How many of you have heard the national debt? And I'm not going there, but I'm just going to say this. Do you know every time you use your credit card, you're creating money? You didn't make any money. You didn't go and exchange money. You just created money. That's all you did. So check this out. Look at this. Average American has 6.5 credit cards. 1991, the average unpaid credit card debt was $4,300. 2001, the average credit card debt per person was $9,900. Check this out. Currently, the average $15,000 on credit cards. All right? Now, if that don't make you feel sick, maybe I could show you how, if you paid it off, how it'd look. Look at this. If you have a credit card debt of $3,900, all right, you make a minimum payment of 3%. Check this out. It will take you 47 years. Of course they'll extend your credit limit. They love you. 47 years, and you will pay, on average, $14,530. All because you have obsession possession syndrome and say, I have to have it now. Come on. You don't need it necessarily now. Maybe you could save. Maybe you could not do this or not do that to make sure you have the money for that. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You say, Pastor Charlie, do you save for everything? No, we finance our house. We finance our cars? Yes. Should we have saved? Yes. Should we be saving? Yeah. Yeah. Do we have kids? Yes. Are we broke? Mostly. No, I'm just kidding. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying, though? Credit card debt, I tell young couples whenever I counsel with them for marriage, don't be silly. I know you watch it on the Kardashians going into debt $500 million for a wedding. Don't do it. Don't be silly. Have crackers, pretzels at your wedding reception, right? If you can afford a pig, go have a barbecue. But don't go into a bunch of debt. It will destroy your marriage before you even start it. Yeah. I wish people would hear that. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, check it out. So there's myth number two. Myth number three, and then we got to move on. Number three is an important one. Money, more money equals less worries. Oh, my Lord. More money equals less worries. Do you believe that? If that was true, if the more money people had, the less worries. How is it that the wealthiest portion of population have the highest suicide rate and drug and alcohol abuse? If more possession equals less worries. I think of Robin Williams. I think of a lot of different people. They have money, they have fame, they have everything, and yet in their world they don't have anything. Why? Because money isn't happiness. It doesn't work that way. God never meant a shovel to bring you happiness. It's a tool. Amen? Amen. You get happy when you use the tool to produce something or to do something in somebody else's life. Praise God. Check this out. Check this out. Last thing. So we got number one. We have acknowledge. Everybody see that? Acknowledge that money is not evil. Number two was what? Be aware of possession. Obsession, that's for sure. That's for sure. Number three, you ready? Write this one down. Contentment is a great cure. Contentment is a great cure. Let me show you just a couple verses that have to deal directly with contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, part of the scripture we're using. Listen to what it says. Now, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Godliness with contentment. With contentment. With contentment is great gain. Like I've told you guys before about bass boats. I love my bass boat. And I love it because it's paid off. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I would hate it if it was sitting in there in January and the snow was blowing. Because you'd be making a payment or something crazy. Increase with contentment is great gain. You can enjoy the smallest things in life because you don't have the big things stressing you out. Amen. Look at this. For we brought nothing into the world, and certainly we will carry nothing out. Right? Watch this. And having food and clothing, we shall be what? Content. Yeah. Look at this. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Look at this next part. Oh, this is so important. And he adds no sorrow, what? With it. My goodness. That right there, I could preach a whole series on that right there. That anything that you want to strive for, or you want to gain, or you want to move on, if it brings sorrow to you, it's not God. God is not of God that brings sorrow into your life. God wants you to be successful, yes. He wants you to go and get it, yes. But at the point that you add sorrow to your heart, it's not God. It's not God. I can think back whenever I was working at SBC, there was an opportunity. I took a position within in the company, and man, when I took that position, God told me not to. I did it anyway. Why? They offered me $200 a month extra. I would have paid them $600 extra to get out of that thing. I'm being serious. Why? That $200, I can see why they were underpaying me. $200, you out of your mind? This is crazy. I deserve a whole lot more than this. Right? So you got to watch what you say. Not every carrot that dangles out in front of you is godly. It may look like it's a blessing. It could be wrapped up with, could be a curse coming into your life. Right? So you got to watch it. You got to watch. Adds no sorrow. I'm not going to do anything or move my family in a direction that adds sorrow to it. Right? That means I'm not going to buy a car that straps me so we can't enjoy life. Not going to buy a house where we can't enjoy life. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Right? I'm not going to get myself in a financial situation that me and my wife can't love each other through. Yeah. I'm not going to do any of that. Why? God will bless me and add no sorrow with it. No sorrow with it. No sorrow with it. Pretty powerful to me. Check this out. Psalms 37, 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of the wicked. My goodness, is that not true? Right? I know some of us, we look at people and we see maybe what they have or what they're driving or the money they have or this or that or the other. And they say, oh man, they got it all together. I wish I could be like them. Only to find out if you really knew the whole story, man, you would just dread to be in their shoes. Dread it. Dread it. Listen to what it says. A little with the righteous is better than the riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Not a happy verse. But the Lord upholds the who? Upholds the righteous. Boy, that is so good. Look at this. Matthew 6:24 really says it all. No one can serve two masters. Either you will love one and what? Hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other, right? Look, or else you will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Mammon is what the Bible called it. Mammon. You can't serve both. You can't serve both. So now let's just expose the myth. Is money the root of all the evil in the world? No. Is money evil? No, you're getting quiet as I go. What happened? Y'all fell off? All right, we'll just go for a good 20 minutes until everybody gets it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We're leaving here in a minute. Hey, check this out. No, watch this. Is money a root of all types of evil? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're going to, watch this. Sometimes I believe people could do themselves good by saying, God, why do I have to do that? And I'm talking about money. Why do I have to do that with my money? Why do I have to do that with my money? I'll give you a stupid, silly story. Why do I have to take all my pennies, put them in a jar, and hide them in the wall? We had someone in our distant family who they lived broke all their lives, only to find out when they passed away, their walls were stuffed with money. And the wife who was left was mad at her husband after he died because she lived poor. And then she didn't live poor the rest of the time. She's fine after that. She was completely fine. She was happy. Check this out. I got a little story here. Harvard, I found this online. I thought it was cute. Listen to it. Harvard MBA graduate. He went for a weekend vacation down an expensive Mexican resort on the Baja Peninsula. At the dock, he saw a Mexican fisherman selling yellowfin tuna there. He asked the young man, how long did it take you to catch that yellowfin tuna? He stated, the Hispanic man said, it took me a couple of hours. He said, why didn't you fish longer and catch more fish? He stated, this is all I need to support my family. He says, well, what do you do with the rest of your time? He said, oh, I'm a busy man, Senor. I sleep late, I fish a while, and then I go home and I have lunch with my wife, Maria, and I take a siesta, and then I play with my children. After that, I have dinner and I play the guitar with my amigos. The Harvard grad said this, I could tell you how to make more money. Tuna is a hot commodity. Just fish longer and you could make a profit. You could buy even a new boat. And then what you could do is you could just buy a whole fleet of boats. The man said, well, then what? He said, well, then your profits, you could open your own processing plant and sell tuna. He said, all right, and then what? Well, then you could start supplying America with tuna. Maybe you could start in L.A. with a store in L.A. and supply them with tuna. And the man said, okay, and then what? He said, well, you could just keep growing it and growing it. And the Hispanic man said, well, how long will that probably take? He said, well, about 20 or 30 years. He said, well, then what? Well, then you can open up outlets all across America. You could sell it everywhere. And then you could get an IPO and take your company public, and you will literally make millions then. He said, yeah, but then what will I do? He said, well, then you'll be set for the rest of your life and you can retire on a coast village. You can sleep late, fish a little. You can have lunch with your wife. You can take a siesta and you can play a guitar with your amigos. How many of you know the guy had it figured out? More isn't necessarily better. Amen? Amen. If it adds sorrow, it's not a good thing, right? Sometimes we can make it way, way too complicated. If I just had more money, if I just had this, how many of you know? No. Don't let that root creep up into your life. Don't let it rob you of your family, of your friends, of your time now. Don't let it rob you of 8 o'clock tonight going out and have ice cream. Don't let it rob you of that. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Money is not the root of all evil. Mm-mm. Money's not even evil. Money's simply a tool. Amen? All right, let me pray for you.